This is MFG Out Loud. Courageous conversations about sales and marketing for today's manufacturers. With your hosts, Ray Zaganto and Allison DeFore.
Hey, Trailblazers. Welcome to the next episode of MFG Out Loud. We are on number 23. I can't believe it.
Right.
And, you know, if you've ever felt like a small fish in a big pond, this is the episode for you. Today we have with us a manufacturing underdog who is leading the pack. And the thing that he is going to tell you may surprise you, that the thing you think you may be really good at might be the thing that's holding you back. So I'm super excited to welcome Darren Mitchell to the podcast. He's the owner of Trout River Industries, way up in Coleman, Prince Edward Island, Canada. And Trout River, if you aren't familiar with them, I was not. They're a manufacturer who gets you to work 365, 24/7 with their world-renowned live bottom and high cube trailers. Now, stay with me. That may not be exciting to you, but it's very exciting what he's done with them and how he can help you with your small to mid-sized manufacturing operation. And the other thing that I think is going to come out of this episode is that being the underdog, literally in a sea of big dogs, would be insurmountable for most people, but not this guy. So I am super excited to welcome you, Darren. Thank you for spending time with us. And let's jump into a courageous conversation. What do you say?
All in. Thank you, Allison. Thank you, Ray. It's great to be here. I absolutely love what you guys are doing. Nobody is having the conversation enough about the value-added businesses that are out there, especially in manufacturing. I just can't begin to tell you how much it's needed, because there's so much going on in our community. There's so much good going on in our community, and we just need to keep the story going. So I applaud both of you for not only starting the conversation, but having the courage to continue to follow through with it. So thank you for that. In a nutshell, you had mentioned, Allison, that we are the underdog and we're remote. I'd like to give your listeners a small glimpse of how remote we are. We live on an island just off the Atlantic seaboard above Maine, and there's 147,000 people on this island. Our community, where we own two factories, the community where we're located has a population of 82 people, and our employee base is 110. So we've actually outnumbered our own community. So that's how remote and underdog-ish we are. If you think about it in the setting of manufacturing, most manufacturers are vertically integrated, horizontally integrated, very capital intensive, based on volumes and optimization. If that were the case, if we had accepted that day one, we wouldn't have even started. It was just a no-go from the beginning. So that's what we focus very, very hard on, is understanding that day one, which was 21 years ago, we were officially the underdog with absolutely nothing in our favor. It wasn't out of brains, trust me. It was out of pure scared necessity. We were forced to do things differently. And it wasn't a true story of perfection and optimization. It was a story about innovation and creativity. And that allowed us to have different conversations with different partners and evolve our business model as we went forward. But I would take no credit for intelligence. It was just being scared enough to move our asses when we had to.
Well, and thus the reason you're here. And I was so just captivated by your story and our fantastic conversation that there was just no way that our audience could not know about you, because it's so inspiring. And one of the things that caught my attention about you is the way that you've used content. Most manufacturers even in my sphere, which many, right, are I want to say pretty, well, they're all intelligent, but they all know about content. Not everybody's utilizing it. So I wanted to jump in, and I know you talk to and counsel so many small and mid-sized manufacturers in your role there and outside your role. What do you think, or you and I were talking in our conversation about the misconceptions that they have about marketing and specific content. So why do they think it's nice to have but not needed still? And what are you hearing them believing?
All right. So I prepared something for you here today, which makes it look like I'm very scientific and well thought out. But I am in marketing, keep in mind. So I want to be very specific on this. We spend a ridiculous amount of time on video content marketing. And why that's been so incredibly, and just a quick stat, we have over 6 million views on YouTube today. Why we've spent so much time on that, and if your listeners are out there watching or listening today, I want to be very, very specific on this. You can build a team of, and when I say super soldiers, I mean videos, that will work on your behalf 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, delivering your message around the globe all the time. And it's done in a fashion that you can be yourself and deliver that message for years to come, and you get to construct it internally, so the external world gets to see who you are, what your value proposition is, what your values are as a company. They get this sense of, if I was to work with this company, this may be how they treat me for years to come. And if we think about the manufacturing realm, you have master distributors, you have sub-distributors, you have dealers, you have salespeople. Thinking back to when we were children, at game of telephone, by the time it gets to the last kid, there's a lot of manufacturers out there who are wondering, is my message actually getting delivered to the right people the way that we have set the value proposition of our company? What the videos start to do is align your values with that supply chain and the end users who ultimately want to give you more money. Because if you think about it, if you really do it right, you're even getting rid of the people who don't want to do business with you. And that is a huge sign of respect, of saying to someone, clearly this is who we are. We don't want to waste your time if you don't currently see the value in doing business with us. So those digital assets in your content marketing strategy, I've referred to them numerous times as our Super Soldier program. You couldn't have anything better working on your behalf around the globe. And again, these assets now sneak into the bathrooms, bedrooms, and marriages of your customers. Think about it. What are they doing? And you don't even have to agree with it, but most people are sitting at the kitchen table with their devices in hand. Hey, how was your day? That's how you now access your customer's brain. You no longer kick their door in and say, here I am, you're going to give me money. Those days are over. But you now have the perfect system to sneak into your customer's lifestyle. And when they choose to find you, you just happen to be standing there saying hello. So I want to be very specific on what digital content marketing is in our eyes, in which we've used it, I believe, very successfully. We could always be better, is the video about the company, the products, and the assets put out in a continuous way so you're allowed to be found versus being in someone's face.
Well, and I would love it if you would share this story with our audience about the customer who trusted the little man on the screen more than the 6'2" dude sitting in front of him, and why you think that is.
So yeah, that was, and I'm glad you brought that up, Allison, because it was one of our aha moments, because quite often in business, you do a lot of things and you go, is this working for us? I received a phone call today from one of the world's largest cement companies, the world's, and they said, we're interested in your product. We're in a bind, we need help. So I got on the next airplane. 48 hours later, I find myself walking into the purchasing manager's office. Purchasing manager's sitting in his office like this with his head stuck in his phone. I said, hi, how are you today? And he went, have a seat. Okay. So I sat at the table and he continued to do this. And eventually I started getting a little frustrated saying, I just got on an airplane and flew to be here to solve your problems. I genuinely want to help you. So I worked up the courage eventually and I just said, Mark, I said, is there some sort of problem? Is it a bad time for you? Do you want me to leave and come back this afternoon? And he said, why? And I said, it really seems like it's not a good time for you. He said, I'm watching your video right now. And I'm thinking, it hit me like a ton of bricks. Mark, the purchaser from this global construction company, trusted the little man in the box more than he did the 6'2" guy standing in front of him, who happened to be the same people.
Wow.
So we finished. He said, am I going to have problems with you? And I said, maybe. I'll come back and fix it if you do. And he said, pick up a purchase order on your way out. Several million dollars later, I walk out with a purchase order. He says to me, can you supply me with additional parts? And I went, sure. Yeah. I received an additional $360,000 of parts we don't even supply. Wow. Because we had that level of trust. What I had to do after that was stand in the parking lot and go, well, my flight doesn't leave until 10 o'clock tonight. I better find other people to meet with. It was a huge aha moment that trust is now built more in this than it is with this.
Well, and which is so ironic because this industry has in every niche that's in it, has built their brand and their business on face-to-face for the most part, right?
Allison and I sat with a fairly large printing company, big industrial. They probably have 60 employees. And we did a little roundtable session. Where are you at? Where do you want to be? What's working? What's not working? And the salespeople were getting very frustrated with me, saying, you don't understand how our business works. And I went, tell me, I'm open to anything. Because at the end, if you have a recipe and it's working for you, mm-hmm. keep going. But if it's not producing the results you want, you have to start looking at your recipe in business. So when we went through this, their thought process was, we're old, we have relationships that have lasted 30 years, and you're assigning value to a 30-year relationship? And I said, guys, and I brought up a big screen TV, and I said, this is what you sell, yes? And I said, I ordered it last night from Kansas City. Why would you do that? Because I can. What you produce, I've ordered from a different company in Kansas City because I could do it at 10 o'clock at night. The value in your 30-year relationship, and I'll come and see you in 3 weeks when I'm traveling through your area. People, there are brains, don't do this anymore. And sorry for using my phone as a prop, but literally we go next, next, next. And that attitude in business is also now being transferred to those 30-year relationships where you want, Bob, I really like you. I know we've been hanging out for 30 years together. Someone else just solved my problem better and cheaper. Because you weren't here 2 weeks ago when we had the problem. That's the future of everything. And the ones who get it are going to prosper immensely. The ones who don't are going to become their food.
Truth.
I hate seeing that. It's not because some of these companies have hundreds and thousands of employees. And they're being affected by this mental block that we have in marketing saying, this is the way the world works. I take it personally in my business. I'm responsible for their future because they're the people who help feed me and my kids. So my job is to make sure that I'm adapting to these new ways and systems to make sure that there is a future.
Absolutely. And I'm sorry, Ray, I'm hogging the questions, but
they're good ones.
So would you share, I know you have put together something there to share with us, and I would love it. And I'm hoping that it maybe corresponds with this question. And if not, then I want you to just take over and say what your plan was. But I would like it if you would share with people listening how you've leveraged content in your business. Maybe you already did with video, with what you just said a moment ago. So if you feel like you've already answered that, then just segue into the next thing. But
you're really good at this, because that's a segue.
I do.
So let's start right here. And I'm going to try and keep it as, this is what I've done 100 times across North America, meeting with small to medium-sized businesses who are in the manufacturing realm. 82% of all customer web traffic is video currently. And that stat came out just before COVID hit. I think it's probably higher. 82% of content on the internet is currently video. So when you see people on their devices sitting at their computers, it's not so much data and emails and texting anymore, it's video. Second one, 54% of consumers today want to see more video from the businesses that they support. Show me what you do before you ever come in the room, because I want to have a feeling of how it works. 66% of video marketers today are saying that they get more qualified leads through video marketing. And when we think of qualified, this means, once again, you're carving out the people who don't want to do business with you. I'll add to it a quick story. I'm in Louisville, Kentucky at the truck show. People are walking up to me saying, "You're the potato man." Yes, there's a video that we have that has 110,000 views of me trying to explain the needs, features, and benefits of our products. And people are throwing potatoes at me because where we are, we're well known for growing potatoes. So their customers we lined up are heckling me and throwing potatoes at me while I'm desperately trying to explain what the product is. In Louisville, that seems silly, we're all giggling, but in Louisville, Kentucky, I had potential customers coming up to me explaining their financial situation. And a half an hour into the conversation, I would say, "Hi, I'm Darren." And they would say, "I know, you've been in my kitchen." That's weird. That level of trust went way up because they had consumed enough pieces of content we had produced that the trust barrier had been broken. There was none of the prove it, who are you, why should I believe you, which is very time consuming in the sales process. And the last one, and this one is I presume it's much higher, from 2017, is your videos are 12 times more likely to be shared than if you had sent someone data. So I'll give you a really good example, and it just happened to me this week. We're working with a national potential customer. They're all over North America. The purchasing manager who's in charge of the project is saying, "Give me data so I can prove that this is a good decision for the committee." The video is what will be shared with the committee. And I think that's extremely important. You're now giving assets to the people who will help get you to yes. That enables them to do their jobs even better. So now that video, really good example, we get a phone call in November from an Elon Musk company saying, "We're all sitting around watching your videos right now. It sounds like you guys can help us with our innovation." So we're now partnered with an Elon Musk company because they all happen to be sitting around watching one of our videos one day. It produces many benefits. I can't even quantify the benefits that it produces. One asset spread over so many benefits, it's absolutely incredible. Here's the stats. Are you ready for it? Nobody's going to do anything.
Yeah.
No one. I would challenge every single one of your listeners today. I can share this. I can quantify the value it's done for my business. I can show you the hard data. This is now where your customers live. This is where they make decisions. And I doubt 2% of your listeners today would ever do it. They won't. And I'm so sorry to tell you that. And I'm desperately trying to share with you, if they would, there are hundreds and hundreds of benefits for almost no work.
What do you think? It's just fear holding them back, or fear of, you know, trying to make things perfect? Well, that's going to cost us thousands and thousands of dollars. We've got to have a script. We've got to have one of our people be the spokesperson. How do you feel about that?
Thanks, Allison. I prepared a David Letterman top 10 list.
We didn't plan this.
Oh, I knew the question was coming today. So what I did, and I talked with some other of my mentors about this, and we struggle with it a lot. What we've done, I pulled some advice from them, and I took my own experiences in doing this in the last couple of years, and I pulled together a top 10 list of, this is why you can show me all the water you want. I'm just never, ever going to drink it there. So if you don't mind, I can share with you, these are the top 10 reasons why people would never, ever, they would say, thank you very much, we appreciate it. I can show you how to make millions of dollars. And you literally said, thanks, I got shit to do. So what are you going to do? Well, my factory's not doing so well, so I have to go back and attend to all my real problems. And you're going, anything I can do to help break down that barrier is, it's good for all of us in the manufacturing world. So,
wait,
number one,
hang on. I want Ray to introduce Darren Mitchell's top 10 list, because Ray has this great radio voice, and I want to this just. So Ray, introduce the top 10 list, please.
And now, live from Prince Edward Island, the top 10 reasons why, in spite of all this evidence, you're probably not going to do shit. Darren, take it away.
Well, thanks, Ray. What an introduction. All right, number one on the list is, and I hear it all the time, I even heard it as early as last week. I was talking to a company, we hire someone. And I want to be very, very specific on that. There are some excellent, top-notch marketing companies out there who can show you the tools and the methodology, and they can help bring your message forward. But you should never abdicate who you are to letting somebody else do that. It is not an outsourcing project. It is not relegating. It is literally who you are as a business. So my advice to these manufacturers are, find someone who you're comfortable with, who can help bring that message out of you, but you never abdicate that message to, you know, let us know how you got along. Because what happens is when you give that to someone, you lose your authenticity. And the authenticity brought out of a business is really what the magic sauce is people can smell bullshit in our industry a mile away. And if you're trying to put all the hype and panning and flashing, and we're all about customer service. I'm so sorry to say this on air, but fuck that. Nobody wants to hear that anymore.
Yeah.
Your customers need to stop doing that. What they need to do is get to a point where they're allowed to be authentic. When you're authentic, you jump across that trust barrier so quickly, you very quickly enter into the problem-solving phase with your customer, and that's the best spot to be, not who are you and why should I believe you. Nobody believes all the polished, flashy stuff anymore. they need someone's help to bring out their authenticity and place that message everywhere it needs to be. Number two on the list is we tried it once, we achieved limited success. I have a company in Ontario that I've worked with before. They did one video in 2004, and that was it.
They're still waiting.
And I showed them, I said, you even got 3,000 views on it. Yeah, we're good. And they literally drifted back to what they were doing before. And one of the reasons I got called in to speak with them is they were trying to tell me how competitive their industry is. And I literally said, the one thing you could do that nobody else is doing, you decided not to do it anymore. Because one of the parts of the recipe of the content marketing is you have to be very consistent at it. You have to let your customers consume very, very small bits whenever they want to and however they want to find those bits. You can't just do one effort and say, hey, we crossed the finish line. That makes it look like you're not consistent. People love when you're consistent. It produces a good feeling on us saying, if I do business with you, you'll probably be consistent. I like this.
Familiarity breeds trust.
Yeah. Number three, it's too expensive. I have a phone. I could put it on me today. I don't think we need to go far in that one. Next one on the list is I don't have time. And I would put this in context of what were you spending your time doing? So what they're not saying out loud is when they say I don't have time, what they're really saying is I haven't yet assigned value to this. Once you assign value to this, it becomes a must. And what they're saying is, you don't know what it's like to be me, Darren. I have all these problems to deal with. I'm literally going back to a bunch of shit I don't want to deal with. And you're going, but it's right here. That could be your leap to the next level. That could be, like, we always have conversations about manufacturing serendipity. We always have that conversation about, I met someone at an airport. I was sitting next to someone who X. What if you could manufacture serendipity 24 hours a day, 7 days a week around the world? Mm-hmm. That's what the digital asset does for you at the end of the day. Number five, I wouldn't know what to say. Again, there's lots of people to help you bring that out. And a lot of times people I find get so hung up on, I don't know what to say. Sometimes you just need to say something. Like one of our better videos is we rolled it. So our industry is, we make these trailers. They have a conveyor belt. The stuff comes out of the back versus a dump trailer that goes up in the air and the dump trailer can fall over. So we roll the dump trailer. We set up the entire situation. We made sure it was offset so it would fall over, and we rolled it. And I got phone calls from people that were irate saying, you wrecked a perfectly good trailer and a perfectly good truck. I know what kind of model the truck was, and you shouldn't have done that. And my response is, and here we are talking. We had our competitors use it as their promotional video. And I'm thinking, great, whatever we need to do, it's generating that attention that we need. And sometimes you just need to, like anything good in life, you need to start by being bad before you get better. And you'll never start doing this if you just don't want to do it. Next one on the list is our clients don't have time to watch our videos. Yeah, you know what? Enough said. If you don't know what people are doing in the privacy of their homes anymore, then you'll never know. Next one on the list is it's a trend. And I think that comment's more related to, you know, where would we place our information? Should we be on TikTok today? Should we be on YouTube? Should we be on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook? I think there's a lot of really good marketing people out there who can help you position and place that. But I wouldn't so much worry about, well, we tried an Instagram account and it didn't work. Well, again, you have to be committed to continually producing and broadcasting your message.
It's a long game.
I received a number 8 on my list. I received a very, very interesting comment in the last month that took me so off guard. I had no response for it. The people I know, Darren, like me. And I'm thinking, I don't know where this is going. Like, I was in shock going, I don't understand why someone would say that. And if we dissect it, I think what that means is I'm happy with what I have and I'm not comfortable. Well, what if someone from the Middle East called me and they wanted to give our company $10 million? Well, I don't know. I'd say that's a pretty good day. So thinking you can only deal in the bubble of people you deal with is, again, that's not bad marketing. That's just a bad business strategy, period. Number 9 on the list, that's not how we do it.
Yep.
I've heard that so many times. I would go back to the earlier story I shared. If you're happy with what's going on in your company and you think that's the best strategy going forward in content marketing, digital asset marketing isn't for you, keep doing it. You're going to come up with other ways and other systems of doing things that will meet your needs. I would only suggest that for us and for many, many other people I've seen in the industry, this strategy has produced massive dividends, especially in an area we weren't even meant to succeed. So that's a small tidbit of advice, but I would stress if someone was sitting in front of me going, actually, we're happy where we're at, then keep doing whatever you're doing. If it's working for you, keep going. And number 10, and this is the one I saved the perfect one for last, and this is the one that always gets me. What if I look stupid? And I got to be honest. I met people in business who are dicks. And quite frankly, I would like them to just go away.
Yeah.
Don't listen to any of the stuff we're talking about. Don't use any of these tools. But the sad part is I've met so many good people who are sincere and passionate and they care about their customers succeeding. What I've shared with those people is you are allowed to share that part of your business with the world, and they're not doing it. That passion that they have that says, I'm still going to be here at 1 o'clock in the morning to make sure we get that order out. Excuse me. That passion, you're allowed to share that with the world. And it's the biggest thing that you have to get over. And you know what? It's in business. I'm just asking people to be themselves. And that's the hardest thing to get over sometimes. So the good people, use all of these tools, be very successful. The people out there who are complete jerks, I just want them to go away. Don't use anything we talked about today.
Darren, you covered an awful lot. And thank you for all of your insights and your top 10 list. And I totally agree. It applies to so many things in business life today where the path is clear. Why aren't more people on it? I had another colleague in manufacturing. We were talking about advanced manufacturing techniques and optimization. And he runs a state-of-the-art shop. And I said, why is there such a gap? And he goes, I don't know. We all get the same magazines. He goes, you know, I can't figure it out. So for those out there, for that 2%, or so that are either already doing it, or let's say we're speaking to that group today that's like, all right, I'm gonna do something. What's your advice to them? It's like, I'm ready, I'm serious, I hear what you're saying, you know, what's that first step, you know?
Perfect. There's this is an easy one. I don't have to think about it. Two things come to mind. Mm-hmm. One is again, as long as we've already crossed that barrier of you want to do it, mm-hmm. That's fantastic. So we're there.
Right.
You have to remember, all of us live in the manufacturing world. Mm-hmm. We create. So I would go back and challenge your team. You all have phones in which you're consuming. When will we as a team go back to creating? And we're allowed to create on this just as much as we're allowed to create on the lathe or the plasma table. Mm-hmm. So that's the mindset going forward. The next thing that I would do is the best videos that are out there today, and I've started analyzing all of them, which ones to get the most interaction, mm-hmm. which ones cause the most action, and which ones have the most views. Mm-hmm. The best content marketing today is the one that is most authentic. Mm-hmm. So I would challenge any one of the teams out there who says, yeah, we are creators, we should get back to creating. If they're sitting around the table, ask yourselves one question. What are we most passionate about? And then tell people. Because whatever you pick will automatically be the thing that's most authentic and the thing you're able to prove.
Yeah.
What a great message to deliver to the world. This is what we're most passionate about. I know this company, we're most passionate about innovation and problem solving. Mm-hmm. So because we do 35% of what we do is custom work, we love spending time with customers saying, how do we make it, it does six things, maybe we can make it do eight things. Yeah. So we love designing and adding that, and we show that in everything we do. Mm-hmm. What we don't tell people is, you know, some of the large trailer manufacturers out there will produce, they're getting close, you know, 100,000 units a year. We are not that, nor do we ever want to be. They do it very, very well.
Yeah.
We do this very well, and we always do everything we can to stick on brand of the things that we're most passionate about, because we can prove to people it's in our culture, it's in our systems, it's in our products and our delivery and our after service.
Well, one of my favorite small manufacturers is actually in Wales. So they're also, you know, island dwellers, and they have a saying, and it's do one thing well. And if you can just focus on that one thing, which I think you have done beautifully, I think that advice is just essential for anybody listening, the 2% that may actually take your advice, and is to be themselves and to focus on that one thing that they're really good at.
Agreed.
I have.
If you really want to scale your business today, you will only be known for one thing. You have to do 100 things well, but you're only known for one. So companies need to start thinking about that today if they really want to grow their business and use that as their leading wedge going forward. You cannot be all things to all people. Bullshit detector says you can't. We know better.
We need to make that a sound bite.
Yes, a Twitter. It's going out on Twitter.
Okay. That's
awesome.
This is going to be our longest episode yet, but by God, I think it's going to be the highest viewed and listened to.
Oh, yeah.
I'm thrilled. I have one final question. As the underdog, and I'm thinking of the little character when I was a kid, in the cartoon, do you sleep in your cape?
I would say after doing this for 21 years, Allison, you get pretty thick skin. There's not much, even COVID-19, the world could throw at us that we can't say, you know what, we can deal with this. And I would stress to any of your listeners out there who are going through tough times, they are the superheroes within their companies. Take the time. You have an ego. It's the thing that got you to where you are today. It's the thing that picked you up when you got stomped on. Don't let your ego hold you back from reaching out for help to someone who can help you right now. And if I could deliver that message to all of your listeners today, you do not have to suffer in silence. The world is taking a shit-kicking right now, and it is okay to reach out to people like yourselves, other people in the industry, anyone you think you can trust, and just talk. It's okay. And like I said, don't let your ego hold you back, because egos are really good. They help us get through all the things we had to get through today, but on the other hand, don't let it hold you back for asking for help. So I just want your listeners to hear that message. It's very, very important. We need each other as a community if we're going to be successful.
Beautifully said. Gosh, I hate to go. So we're going to have you back. You know, thank you so much for being here and for giving us your time and your energy and your creativity. Thank you for bringing that to this industry. I think we're all really lucky to have you. And if you are listening and you're not already subscribed, and I know there's a lot of you out there, please take a sec and subscribe to the podcast. Consider sharing it with a friend or a colleague if you have found value, if this has helped you one iota. And feel free to leave a review, good, bad, or indifferent. We want to make this podcast valuable for you, and we want to continue getting better. So we appreciate that. Ray, you want to wrap us up?
Darren, thanks so much. I want to build on what you said. It's now's the time for manufacturers. Stand up, push through, and we can get through this together. So to all of our listeners, you matter to us. You're important to us. We hear you. We're so glad you hung out with us, and we can't wait to talk to you next time. Keep manufacturing out loud. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to MFG Out Loud with Ray Zaganto and Allison DeFore. You can subscribe and find show notes at mfgoutloud.com.